I wanted to explain that this lecture has a history which is leading to the lecture. I was often thinking as I was performing my own little vratas, which is the mood really which brings a contact with Krishna about? What is the inner orientation which is required? And I was then thinking about the question, is it possible to teach this inner orientation? Is it possible to bring devotees to the stage where they can also chant and perform their bhajan in a way that they are feeling a connection with Krishna? And so this has been a long time now my attempt. I wanted to find out for myself how I can make a contact with Krishna when I would do my own bhajan. And I wanted to also find ways and means to teach this, to teach devotees how to really enter their inner space, the temple of their heart, and find on the altar Krishna. So this morning I was again thinking about this subject matter, and then I read this wonderful excerpt of a lecture from His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj, which will form, or the points which he makes there will form some of the main body of this lecture. I will elaborate on it and bring my own experience or thoughts to it. I wanted to first of all start by saying that chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in the tradition of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really has a twofold result. First of all, when we chant, we develop this most rare fruit of love, loving feelings for Krishna. Now this love will start to influence or inform, as we say in Gaura Bhavan, our whole attitude and our whole life. And as a result, the devotee will feel in his devotionally transformed body signs which are visible to the outside world. We say in German, the person whose heart is full, he will speak more. Wem das Herz voll ist, dem geht die Zunge über. So, in chanting, what first starts is what you first will experience, that your heart starts to melt with the beginning stages of love of God, and as a result you will your tongue will move and you will want to chant more. Prabhupada was once asked, what does chanting bring about? And he said, more chanting. That was his simple answer of the twofold effects of chanting. So this is our first point. By chanting you will develop love, and that love will make you want to chant more. There's a very nice verse from the Bhagavatam about an intelligent person who has directed his mind to the Lord. He will do two things. He will eventually detach himself from a material situation where he's just a slave, and he will start or he should wander freely without embarrassing, hearing and chanting the holy names of the Lord. So when he does this, when he dedicates himself to singing the holy name freely without embarrassment, then something will happen which is considered to be the essence of the teachings of the Bhagavatam. This book Bhagavatam, which has so many verses, can be condensed in one statement, in one verse, which I will chant to you now. Evam vratasva priyanama kirtya jatanurago druta citta uchai hasatyato rodito roti gayati unmara vanrityati lokabaya. By chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord, one comes to the stage of love of Godhead. Then the devotee is fixed as an eternal servant of the Lord. He doesn't shake any longer. The chanting has convinced him, I am the eternal servant of Krishna. And then he gradually will become very much attached to a particular name and form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the chanting will make him attached to Krishna. And what will he do then when he is attached? Well, he becomes attached in a very particular way to, let us say, Radha Madan Mohan. And then this attachment will melt his heart so that he laughs very loudly, he cries, or he shouts, Radhe, Radhe, Krishna, Krishna. And sometimes it may happen that he dances like a madman, for he has become indifferent to what the other people say about him. He's no longer interested in the opinion of neighbors. So this is happening as you chant the holy name. You will chant more, because by your initial chanting you will become attached to Krishna, and that attachment to Krishna will melt your heart, and the result will be that you will dance and chant and you will be ecstatic. See, this Bhagavatam philosophy, which Mahaprabhu quoted, brings us to a very, very, very volcanic type of bhakti, which wants to express itself like a volcano, which all of a sudden boils over with all that lava. It's not the contemplative bhakti which we meet in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your obeisances. No, no, here the devotee becomes moved in his heart, he becomes ecstatic. Divine feelings are, so to say, coming up like a storm which moves the still lake of the heart. It's an ecstatic manifestation, quite different from the contemplative trance of the yogis. In fact, we hear of one Shantabhakta, a yogi who meditated about Vasudev in his heart, and all of a sudden heard the sound from one of the cymbals of Vasudev's, the conch shell, and as he heard that sound, his hairs on the body started to stand on end, and he was laughing with joy, which was quite something in the yogic community, where the devotees are silent in the meditation. So this path of bhakti, where the devotee becomes actually transformed with feelings of devotion, has been very nicely expressed by Srila Ishwarapuri, the spiritual master of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who had told Mahaprabhu that the essence of the whole Bhagavatam is that a devotee becomes attached to Krishna and as a result starts to chant while dancing ecstatically. So this Ishwarapuri has told us how this path is different from what the twice-born brahmanas do who study the Vedas, what the yogis do who go for solitary meditation in the forest. He has said, let those twice-born brahmanas enter the fearless kingdom of yoga, Vedic study and solitary meditation in the forest. Let them go into the forest and meditate. Let them become liberated in that way. As far as I am concerned, I will spend hundreds and thousands of births chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna, whose splendid dark complexion and yellow garments are like a host of blue flowers blooming in a grove of yellow flowing flower bearing kadamba trees. Just see how he sees Krishna. He sees Krishna like a blue lotus flower in the midst of a forest of kadamba, blooming kadamba trees who have a yellowish complexion. So in this way he has an overwhelming darshan of the beautiful colors of Krishna's transcendental body as he comes dancing into his vision dressed in a yellow dhoti and a yellow pitambara. This is the ecstatic trance. He says, let everyone meditate in their own ways. Okay, let them be liberated. But I will just wish to have thousands of birth where I just chant the holy name and have this darshan of Lord Krishna entering into my perception. He only wants Shyama Sunda, whose bodily complexion is like that of a blue lotus. And he wants that Shyama Sunda inside a kunj, means an arrangement of trees in the forest of Vrindavan, where he is together, of course, with his most beloved devotees. Mm. So I will now read to you what Gaur Govinda Maharaj says here. It's very beautiful. Krishna's name is none different from him. Abhinatvang nama namino. There's no difference between the name of Krishna and Krishna himself. And we are the servants of that holy name. We should all learn to give Nam Seva, means serve that name, because it's the form of Krishna who is ready to appear to even a fallen soul like us. We should be willing to do this Nam Seva, serve this holy name, because that will bring us to the same ecstatic results which Ishwarapuri has described, that is prema for Krishna. Etang nividyamananam, says the Bhagavatam. This chanting is the doubtless and fearless way of success for those on the spiritual path. It will bring love of Godhead. And there is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes this. Mahamadaka prema falapeta barikaya matila sakalaloka hase nache gaya. Hase means laughing, nache means dancing, and gaya means singing. The fruit of love of Godhead distributed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is such a great intoxicant that anyone who eats it, filling his belly, immediately becomes maddened by it, and automatically he chants, he dances, he laughs and enjoys. So we should engaged we should start to think like this in relationship to the holy name. Let lakhs and lakhs of births go by, thousands of births, no problem for a devotee who has this intoxication, this fruit of the holy name, which he relishes because he does Naam Seva. I remember when I was very young, I hope no one will become disappointed with me. I liked to also go into the ocean when it was midday, December. I remember once, 2 days before Christmas, I went into the ocean, and when I went into the ocean, I felt this is a little cold for me. So I'm fearing now that Gaurahari will never speak with me again. I secretly got a bottle of rum, that is brandy or whiskey or you know, alcohol, and I drank this. I was not yet in Krishna consciousness. I was drinking this not for because I liked alcohol. I didn't like alcohol. It had no taste for me. But I knew that if I drink this, something will happen and I will not feel the pain of the cold in the ocean. So I did this. I'm very sorry, Gaurahari. I will not do it again, I promise. I felt by this intoxicant protected against the misery of birth and death. So the devotee also feels, let me take this intoxicant of this fruit of love, which is distributed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is a chanting. You know, we said earlier that this chanting which a devotee does is also an expression of his love. Huh? So let us eat this, filling our belly with it, and then we will not mind. Janmani janmani shvare bhavatat bhaktiya ahaituki tvayi. The birth and death will come and go. I don't mind this pain. We are just in fully fortified or protected or strengthened by this the taste of this fruit of love of God. This is what Ishvara Puri says, what the Bhagavatam says, and so on and so forth. Now, there is one pain which the devotee will feel who starts to chant. And I like this, and I can warn you. This is a sweet pain. This is a good pain. It's a necessary pain. This pain will be the antidote. Antidote means the Gegenmittel, the effective medicine which will drive away the pain of material desires. We all have material desires at times for wealth, for the opposite sex, for recognition, for being poetic, and doing things in this world, and this is sometimes causing us problems. It pulls us here, there, and everywhere. But as you chant, you will develop a good pain in your heart, which will drive the bad pain away. Almost like some medicines, homeopathic medicines, when you take them, in the beginning there is a little bit more disease. It says erst Verschlimmerung, but then it drives away the disease. So the what I'm talking about here is the viraha, the fire of viraha, the fire of separation. You will feel as you chant, "Oh Krishna, where are you? I want you." And as this fire starts to burn, first a little, but then more and more and more, you will no longer have desires for material wealth, for followers, for sexual gratification, and for liberation of this world. Mahaprabhu has expressed this: na dhanam, no wealth; na janam, no followers; na sundarim, no; na kavitam, va jagadisha kamaye. Oh my Lord of the universe, I have no more desires for these things. Now mama janmani janmani shvare bhavatat bhaktiya ahaituki tvayi. I want life after life only your bhakti, your devotional service, with where I have no other motivation than to serve you. So let me summarize to express where we are. Chanting the holy name will eventually melt the heart. Once the heart is melted, you will express your love for Krishna by chanting Krishna, Krishna, Govinda, Govinda, or whatever form of Krishna you prefer. And at that time, sweet fire will start burning within you. A fire which will eventually increase in momentum and which will free you from the fire of, it's called kamakni, the fire of material desires. It will go. It will go. Now, at that time, when you feel, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Your heart will become agitated. Where is my Krishna? Where is my Krishna? You will say things like, 3 hours of the day have gone. Another 3 hours of the day have gone. 6 hours already, and my Krishna has not come. Another 3 hours have gone. That's 9 hours. My Krishna has not come. Another 3 hours have gone. 12 hours. That's a whole day. Soon the night will come. And at the as the night starts, you will say, another 3 hours, 15 hours. Now, another 3 hours, 18 hours, 21 hours, 24 hours, day and night have passed, and I have not yet obtained Krishna. Now, at that time, my dear devotees, the question is, what will give you solace? And you will soon see that the very medicine which will give you solace will also start you on your journey. We all know this medicine. Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam kavividitam kalmashapaham tavakatamritam tapta jivanam kavividitam kalmashapaham shavanamangalam simadatatam Shavana Mangala Sivadatata Buri Bhuvanti De Je Buri Dajana Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare O Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama O Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Actually, when a devotee feels this mood of separation, this intense feelings that he wants to be together with Krishna, and he feels still sorry that there are material desires in his heart, at that time there is one balm, one soothing balm, which will give him relief. And that is the Tavakkatamritam, the nectar of hearing about Krishna personally. At that moment when the devotee starts to hear about Krishna, at that particular moment in time, he feels that the Krishna Katha is his greatest achievement, it's his greatest solace, it's the balm which cools his fever, it's the head which of the Lord which touches his feverish head and cools the head down. This and he feels those who talk to me about Krishna are the greatest welfare workers. They are the best doctors. They are giving the most needed medicine. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said that the holy name and Krishna Katha are going together. It is like Radha and Krishna, or the Lord and his Swarup Shakti. The holy name is the Lord, and his energy is hearing about Krishna. And in this way, the devotee feels, as he hears about Krishna, Krishna is here. Krishna is not far away. Krishna is there with his cowherd boys. The Bhagavatam or Krishna Katha is what you call in philosophy a performative narrative. That is, a narrative, it means what you talk about, what you discuss, and a performance is like a act on a stage, a performance. So as you hear Krishna Katha from the lips of a devotee who is attached to Lord Krishna, you will see all of a sudden a stage before you, crowded with the main actors of Braj Leela, Krishna, the cowherd boys, and so on. And you will feel something which the cowherd boys felt when they were together with Krishna at the site of the river Jamuna. You know, they all would take out their picnic packets which had been made by their mothers, and they would put the food on slabs of stones, because you can eat very nicely from the stones. They are like little tables. So they would all surround Lord Krishna, whom they placed in the center, and would start eating and looking at Krishna, lost in his beauty, like Ishwarapuri had explained, that the chanter sees Krishna as beautiful as a blue lotus in a forest of kadamba, yellow kadamba flowers. So they would all look mesmerized at Lord Krishna. Then they saw a miracle. Krishna looked just at them. They could see that Krishna had eyes only for them, and they felt Krishna only is engaging with me and talking with me now, and not with the other boys next to me, left and right. No, only for me. For instance, Krishna would remark or see a little bumblebee, and he said, "Bumblebee, this is not the place for you. Go to Madhu Mangal." So he would shoo the bumblebee away. The bumblebee would go to Madhu Mangal, and Madhu Mangal would say, "Hey, Kanai, are you not afraid to send this cruel killer of brahmanas to me. And in this way you become a complice in a murder of a brahmana. And they would all, Krishna would laugh, no, it's only a bumblebee. I'm not afraid. You should not be afraid of bumblebees. I have killed many demons before. There will be no danger. And this way they would, Madhu Mangal would joke with Krishna back and forth and eat. And every boy in the group would have the same experience, that they would eat with Krishna only and talk with Krishna only. So when you hear Krishna Katha or chant, you also as a sadhaka in this world will enter the stage of where you meet Krishna, and you feel Krishna has a personal relationship with me. Don't we feel this when we do bhajan? Don't we feel sometimes that Krishna confirms an idea which we have, a feeling which we have? We take, for instance, the Bhagavatam and start reading, and we don't, my God, this was just what I was thinking about. Krishna has opened the Bhagavatam at this particular spot. I know it. Don't we all have this experience? Why? Because Krishna, in the Leela and also in this great adventure of sadhana, of practicing Krishna consciousness, starts to relate to the devotee individually as if there is only he and the devotee, no one else. This is what Krishna did in the pastimes of eating lunch at the riverside of the Jamuna, when all the boys had the feeling, he looks only at me, I see him, and I talk with him like this. So personally, you know, like Madhu Mangal said, are you not afraid to be, you're sending me a dangerous monster, the bee? You know. So this is a miracle of bhajan. It's a miracle of Krishna, which he has expressed in the Gita with the words, yeyatamang prapatyante. The degree someone surrenders to me, I reveal myself. And this revelation is a private thing. It's not a public affair. So, I want to go. I want to come to the end now. I want to say that Srila Madhavendra Puri, the guru of Ishvara Puri, about whom we have heard a verse, was always feeling this mood of separation from Krishna. He comes in the Madhva Sampradaya, and his guru is Lakshmipati. Now, all the gurus of the Madhva Sampradaya up to Lakshmipati did not relate to Krishna with that feeling which is so typical to the Gaudiya Sampradaya, the feeling of separation which I have described as a result of chanting the holy name. I have talked about Viraha Agni, the fire of Viraha Agni, which is a good fire because it will take care to free us from the pain. This intoxication with Krishna pain frees us from the pain of the ocean of samsara. So that feeling of separation is expressed by Srila Madhavendra Puri in a beautiful shloka. This shloka is only known to three people. Madhavendra Puri, it's a secret shloka. In other words, Madhavendra Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who relished it, and Srimati Radhika. It's really, these three are the paradigmic bhaktas, that means those exemplary bhaktas who feel this feeling of separation. I would like to read the shloka to you. It was, by the way, I shouldn't say it so public. It's a very secret mantra. It's a very powerful mantra. I mean, I will say the verse, but listen to it. Aidi nadayatra natahe maturanata kadavalokshase hridayam tvadalokam kataram daita brahmyati kinkaromyam. So Madhavendra Puri says in the mood of Srimati Radharani something to Krishna, which expresses this fire. Krishna has just left Vrindavan. Srimati Radharani and her confidential associates had broken down on the road, crying. And then they had looked towards Mathura. The eyes had tried to follow the chariot of Akrura. They saw at the end only dust, no chariot any longer. And then also this dust disappeared behind the horizon. Then they could not move. They stood there gazing in the direction of Mathura. And then this verse came out of the lips of Radharani. She said, "You're now no longer the Lord of Vrindavan. You are the Lord of Mathura. You have left us, and we are feeling the separation from you. When shall I have darshan of you again? Without seeing you, my heart is very much agitated, like big waves in the ocean. Oh my Lord, what shall I do now that I'm unable to see you?" So these are the feelings of separations which are handed down in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if you think about it very carefully, you will come to the conclusion that this really is the most realistic, strong feeling in relationship to Krishna. I'm, as a conditioned soul, you can relate to that, because you may not be separated in the Leela from Krishna, but you are very realistically separated by just staying in the Bahiranga Shakti, a captive prisoner of the material energy. No? This, when you hear this type of expression, this type of strong feeling, you can relate to it. You cannot relate to so many other strong feelings of love, but to this one you can relate very well. And it is this strong feeling, and I must really bring this to the forefront of your understanding. You must develop some feeling for Krishna. This is what is supposed to happen as you chant. You as we say, when we chant the holy name, it acts like a sun, or like sun rays on the vox of our heart. We hear from Haridas Thakur that the chanting in its beginning states, you know, when you pass out of Nam Aparada and you do Nam Vasa, it's like the rays of the sun which rises. It's not yet the sun which you see, but you see and feel the rays in the morning. And what that does when you feel a little of the chanting is your heart begins to melt. And I mean, we could feel that very much in Radhadesh. We could feel it. There was the devotional energy of so many other chanters helped also our heart to feel melted with it. The rays came. It may have been Namabhasa, not yet Shuddhanam, but the heart melted. And what will happen then? Oh, you feel Krishna, Krishna. Oh, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Ayi dina dayatara nata he matura nata kadava lokshase. Mahaprabhu would take this verse and say it again and again, like a person who takes a sandalwood stick and rubs it again and again on a stone so that the taste increases. I don't know if you know, as you do as you do this with sandalwood and you rub it more and more, the smell increases. So this verse is also will reveal its fragrance or its understanding to you more and more. So Rupa Goswami, or let me say Raghunath Das Goswami, who sat at Radhakund, and here I will end with this class on separation. He would day and night serve Radha and Krishna in his mind. He would write books. He would have a lecture each day which lasted 4 hours only on the pastimes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Because he had been in Puri and had also heard from Swarup Damodar and had seen the notebook of Swarup Damodar, which is called his Kadacha. It's a lost book, unfortunately. But he had read this. He had committed most of it to memory, and in the when he was at Radhakund, he would talk about Gauranga for 4 hours a day. 4 hours a day without any interruption. And there was one listener in the audience who wrote this down, and in this way preserve to us the precious information of Swarup Damodar's notebook. And his name is Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. He wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita from the lecture, like we sometimes make notes on a lecture, and then we give our lecture. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami took the notes from Raghunath Das Goswami's talks, which again was based on what Raghunath Das Goswami had seen and what he had read in the notebooks of Swarup Damodar Goswami. So Raghunath Das Goswami, make no mistake, was always engaged in serving Radha and Krishna 24 hours a day. Still he had these feelings of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And he would chant,
Ashaikatantumavalambya vilambamana Rakshami jivamavadirniyato yadisyat No chet vidisakalaloka hitai kakari Yatkalakutamasrijat tadidam kimatam.
A feeble hope is still there. Feeble means it can break at any moment and then the hope is gone. But I still have this hope. Therefore I have not yet died. I am thinking in my mind that surely the time will come when I will see again my beloved, the dearest of my heart, Krishna. There must be some limit to this time separated from Krishna. I know it will also this misery of being separated from Krishna will not last eternal. It will go. I know. That is the feeble hope that I am maintaining. If the time does not come when we are reunited, then I will not be able to keep my life. I shall take the help of the very dreadful Kalakuta poison and in this way end my life. So these feelings of separation is taught in the tradition of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and we can enter this also by singing in a very sweet voice, Gaura Pahun Nabajiya Mainu. It's a song which Prabhupada would often sing, and if you want, I'm sure I will have it in this huge songbook which has all the songs in it. Go, go, da, go, da, go, da, Pahun, 154. Oops. Just see how the great devotees express their heart. Here, I did not worship Lord Gauranga Prabhu, and thus I became full of suffering. I refused to accept the treasure of pure love of Krishna, and thus I became lost. See, don't refuse to take the gift from Gauranga Mahaprabhu. That is to chant. Under his guidance, in his line, and so on. I rejected the treasure of love of Krishna and deliberately struggled, and I became poor. I rejected the association of the saintly devotees and instead tried to enjoy amongst the impious non-devotees. In this way, I became caught up in the knots of karma. I have continually drunk the poison of sense gratification. I refuse to swim in the nectar of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. Why do I stay alive? What happiness do I have? Why has this Narottam Das not died long ago? So you can see, when we hear these songs of separation, as we soften our hearts, do become softened in this mood, the desire to enjoy the life in the world goes, we will realize that the material world has betrayed us, verraten, and we will abandon it. Not with force, but with a natural feeling, because we have something better. Prabhupada said in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 9, text 51, about this: if one is serious and sincerely follows the regulative principles and chants the Hare Krishna mantra, the time will come when these symptoms will appear. Tears will fill one's eyes. One will be unable to chant the Maha mantra distinctly, and one's heart will throb in ecstasy. Have you ever made sweet rice? First, you boil it down more and more and more. This is what the chanting is down. You boil down the milk, the heart. Then there's sweet rice in the rice pot. It becomes more and more thick, and then it makes duck, 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 puck, 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 like little volcanoes. Huh? Puck, 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 puck. It becomes very thick. That is what Prabhupada says here. The heart will throb. Throb means it will throw itself back and forth. And one will, and the heart will throb in ecstasy. My dear devotees, I will end our class now. I thank you that you were together with us for this long. But my point here is, what I want to get at, don't be afraid of becoming touched in your heart with the love of Krishna consciousness. Don't be afraid for this. It is necessary that our heart becomes touched with this, so that as a natural byproduct in our life, a fire will start, some intensity, not some lukewarm feelings where you will be continue to be plagued by material consciousness, but you will start a fire which is the fire of Krishna consciousness, where you will feel separation from Krishna. And when you feel that, oh Krishna, oh Krishna, oh Krishna, then nadhanam, najhanam, then all these material desires will go out of your heart. So to come to that state, the chanting is recommended, and the hearing about Krishna, tava katamritam tapta jivanam, this goes together, chanting and hearing about Krishna, so that you will know whose name you chant. You have to know whose name you chant in order to connect with him, in order to be close to him, in order to feel some relationship, or in Sanskrit, some sambandha. This is required. So I felt inspired to talk about this because I have been thinking about this in the morning. I want to now leave you all to your other important duties or thoughts. Thank you for being with us, and you will be able to join us again on Friday, I think, at 5 o'clock, when we have a program in the Dharma Castle. It is at 6 o'clock. It is, oh yeah, oh, the prasadam starts at 5 o'clock, and we can't yet send prasadam by through internet. We can only send the shadow of the abhasa, prasadam abhasa, through the internet. So the actual program starts at 6:30.
Most probably.
They're trying their best, and so on. And Saturday is something in the temple.
It will be also broadcasted at 4 o'clock.
It will be broadcasted. It's at 4 o'clock. You will get the information from Gaurahari. There will be first class broadcast from the temple. Hare Krishna, all the best. And tomorrow, try again with your good chanting, where you chant actually the rounds from an inner state of connectedness. Hare Krishna. So here's a question. The question which Gaurahari asked is that we can hear this, and we also believe it when we hear the exalted devotees, when we hear of the experience of the exalted devotees, but still it seems to be a very rare state where we experience feelings in relationship to Krishna. So I said I have different thoughts on this. I will start with a conventional answer. Today a devotee told me something which really stuck with me. She said that she has seen what happens when you are together with people who have feelings. You know, we always say you should associate with those who have the feelings by either singing the songs or like some of you do, reading the prayers of Sharanagati. That was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's experience. His spiritual master, Gokishore Das Babaji, had said, love of God is very cheap. It costs 3 rupees. That is exactly the amount you have to spend on the book Prarthana, the prayers of Narottam Das Thakur. So if you read the prayers, you can go to the marketplace, 3 rupees. You know. If you read prayers, that's how feelings come. And this devotee said to me that her grandfather had died, and she had actually felt okay with it, because the grandfather had many times expressed his desire to die because it was just so painful. He suffered from a stroke. So he said, when can I die? I want to die. It was just so painful for him. And then when the grandfather finally died, of course she was sad, but also happy, until she went to the graveyard, where about 70 people or more were there when the, how do you call it, the sarg, the coffin was lowered into the earth. And she had at that time seen all these people breaking out in tears and really crying. So you really felt at that time how the tears just overtook her and she started to cry also. She really felt that at that time. It was really like shaking. She said she couldn't stop herself. And that showed her how powerful association works. If you want to have feelings, you can't be an impersonalist. You have to connect with people who have devotional feelings. You have to read. I read prayers, you know, and see my big book. It's full of every conceivable prayer in the universe. It's because of that, and I'm trying every day. Every day I'm saying one prayer, you know. Now I will come to a very unconventional answer. You may not like this answer, and I can only say I'm very, very, very aware that this answer is a sword with two sides to it. I am sometimes thinking in the process of devotional service where we are careful of material feelings like attachments, anger, hatred, envy, etc., we cut ourselves off from all kinds of feelings. We are aware there are some dangerous feelings, and as a result, we cut ourselves off from all kinds of feelings and try to enter into a yogic zone almost of non-attachment, detachment, and without knowing, cut ourselves from all types of feelings. I would like to give an example which devotees have told me, that they had said that after some time, when someone felt pain next to them, they didn't react to it any longer. They said it says karma. In order to, you know, the intention is very, very good to not become entangled in the world. But there may be, I'm saying this is a controversial answer, it may be important to not cut yourself away from feelings if you want to feel something. And I think in our philosophy there is a very, very good way to deal with this. We should develop friendly feelings for devotees. Have you ever heard about it? We should reveal our mind in confidence to devotees and ask confidential questions. That enters immediately, you go into the world of feelings. We should give gifts and receive gifts. Give prasadam and receive prasadam. This is all very much necessary and desired to have feelings for Krishna. I mean, I must say, I saw one devotee whose feelings began to atrophy, you know, like an part of the body which you don't use all of a sudden becomes unusable and atrophied. So I think, therefore, this is at least my relationship, I have started to take devotees seriously after many years of just being an ice block. You know, me an ice block, that doesn't work. I'm a very, very heartfelt person. But I just cut myself off. I began to not trust anyone any longer in this society, because so often I heard how everyone talks about everyone, you know. And I just saw people as data, you know, like the computer, which works according to the information which are programmed into it, which are instantiated. It's the English word is called a program you install, you know, it's installed. And I saw people like this, and then I could see when I became older that this is not the way. You must take part in people's life. You must be emphatic. Emphatic means not just sympathetic, but you must, you know. And of course, as you do this, you have to see that you don't come out of balance, you know. There are material feelings which are dangerous, which entangle you, and so on and so forth. But I don't think in the name of avoiding entanglement you can become like a stone. I don't think this is good. Because then you won't be able to relate to Krishna. If you do, it will be only mental, a mental exercise, because you don't have any feelings to give. It's an interesting point, isn't it? Again, please don't take this point out of context. Don't take this, I have spoken about one mistake which we could do to just build ourselves a tower, a wall around us, and not have feelings of compassion, for instance. We just see that karma is there. But I also don't think we should go into the opposite side, where we just go totally into the world of feelings. Balance is good. And that is sometimes you have to learn balance. When I was on the... Do you all remember when we all tried to drive on a bicycle? It took me half a year to learn balance. You know, I had three wheels, you know, two wheels. You also had as children, I think. So, huh? And then, but all of a sudden, my God, I don't need these nonsense wheels. You have to learn that. It's not so easy. That's what is called life, you know.